This is Vermont Edition. I'm Michaela LaFrac. For about 5 years now, Burlington has been a key part of a debate going on in our region about police oversight. When there's a case against a police officer over alleged misbehavior or abuse, who gets to weigh in? Should it be an internal process, or should a civilian panel, for example, get a say? On Election Day, November 5th, Burlington voters approved a charter change to give more of that oversight power to a commission, taking sole authority away from the police chief. Now, the Police Officers Union says it's going to push back against this plan before it becomes permanent. Now, this might sound to you like insider politics, especially if you don't live in Burlington, but it is an example of a debate that is playing out across our region and the country since George Floyd's murder by police officers in 2020. And you also told us time and again that crime and public safety were major issues for you at the ballot box this November. So this hour, we are going to dive into this potential change that's going on in Burlington. Joining us today to talk us through what's led us to this moment is Liam Elder Connors, Vermont Public's senior reporter on public safety. Hey, Liam.
Hi, Michaela.
And stay tuned for later in the hour because we're going to talk with police officers from Burlington who are members of the union there, as well as Mayor Emma Mulvaney-Stanek. You could join this conversation as well. Did you vote on Burlington's police oversight bill this past election day? What personal experiences or line of thinking influenced that vote? Give us a call at 800-639-2211 or send us an email to vermontedition@vermontpublic.org. Liam, I just call this a bill, but it's not really that. It's a measure that would change the city's charter. What exactly would it change?
So it would give more power to the police commission, which is a 7-member panel in Burlington that provides right now more advisory kind of role to the police department. They can weigh in on department policies. They serve as an appeal board for officers' grievances, and they can also recommend disciplinary actions. But their role right now really is advisory. The new measure, the new charter change, would give them more teeth and more authority to actually weigh in on some of these disciplinary decisions that come before police, the police chief in internal investigations when those crop up.
So who exactly does have the oversight power right now? Is it the police chief, John Murad?
Primarily, if we're talking about who is in charge of implementing disciplinary measures in an internal investigation, the new ballot item, or the, I guess what's now the charter change that's passed, would give the commission more power to weigh in on some of those things. And if they disagree with the chief, they can, through a 2/3 vote, put in some other places to push back on that. We're going to walk through all of that in a minute, because there's a few different steps, and it's I'm still kind of learning how it might work, and it's not in place yet, so I think everyone's still kind of getting the lay of the land with this.
Yeah, let's be clear on that. There are still some more steps that would need to occur before this change we're talking about today is implemented, right?
That's right. So charter changes have to be approved by the legislature and then approved by the governor. So this is going to go to the legislature in the upcoming session, and we'll see what happens there. It's not a guaranteed thing that this will become official in the charter change. We've actually seen in the past Burlington voters have voted in favor of certain charter changes. Like in 2014, there were some gun control measures that they voted in favor of, and those never got through the legislature. The governor's also vetoed just cause evictions. Governor Phil Scott did that a few years ago. So it's still up in the air what's going to happen with this. It's not a done deal.
Okay. So let's talk through some more of the details of that, because there are already oversight measures in place for police, as you were just saying, that this isn't the first, instance of a oversight board.
There are internal controls. There's not a civilian oversight panel like this currently in the state of Vermont. State police, there is a civilian oversight panel for the state police. Again, it's a little bit more advisory, and a lot of their work happens behind closed doors, so it's hard to know exactly what's going on there. And a lot of this work would probably end up being a lot of it might be more private. There'd probably be some discussion on how to make some of this stuff public, potentially. But, it's not something that I've seen in the state of Vermont where you have a civilian panel that has would have this much authority to recommend discipline for officers. So it would be a new thing that we'd be seeing in the state of Vermont. Hmm.
So you've been reporting on public safety and policing in Burlington and more broadly in our region for quite some time now, years, in fact. When did this debate over police oversight really start to gather steam?
In 2019 in Burlington, there were two excessive force lawsuits that were filed against Burlington police officers. There was also an incident that year where a man died a few days after getting punched in the head by a cop during an altercation at the emergency department, UVM Medical Center. And those three incidents, I guess, became public and were very there's a lot of scrutiny of those and questions about police use of force, department policies, and then the role of the police commission and if there should or shouldn't be more oversight from that panel. So the seeds of where we're at right now were planted in 2019, and things were kind of moving along. There was some committee groups studying various policy proposals. And then obviously in 2020, the murder of George Floyd really kickstarted these conversations, and there's a lot more momentum behind them. And that's really kind of what pushed things through. That the national conversation about policing really helped kind of light the fire that carried this forward, even though the seeds were back in 2019.
Hmm. And so since then, there have been three efforts to change the city's charter to enshrine more oversight measures. What happened the last two times?
Well, they didn't go through, obviously. That's why we're here. We're ahead of third
here today.
Time. So in 2020, progressives on the city council in Burlington led a charge on a control board, a civilian control board that would have a pretty strong authority to oversee the police department and, you know, hiring and firing cops, including the chief. Law enforcement officers and their families would have been barred from serving on the panel. It was a pretty strong proposal, I guess. A lot in some ways, there was a lot more authority that was just given to that panel. And Mayor Mura Weinberger vetoed that proposal. And then it kind of came back, a very similar idea came back in 2023 after activists got enough signatures to put the measure on the town meeting day ballot in 2023, and voters rejected that as well. And so this third charter change, or this third sort of iteration of the oversight board, came forward as a compromise measure between city councilors, progressives, and Democrats, who came together to sort of work out something that was a little bit more in the middle of what had been proposed previously.
Mm. And while this conversation about police oversight is going on, there are also a lot of Vermonters who are very concerned about crime in Burlington, as well as open drug use and homelessness, and what they see as the convergence of those three issues. Now, Burlington has been trying for a while now to boost its officer number count. The force is currently smaller than what it's allowed to be. And we got an email from a listener named Koshka ahead of today's show, who writes, quote, "I live in Burlington and have lived here for most of 15 years. We've all seen negative changes in the city. I fear that this is yet again a poorly thought out decision and a horrible way forward. We have a tough enough time recruiting police officers, and now we're going to have an oversight committee keeping them under the microscope. It's delusional. It's as if we're calling in a plumber to fix the plumbing, but then telling him how to do his job. It makes no sense." Liam, this is a relatively common argument you hear in Burlington, right?
You do. And it's often an argument that you hear anytime police oversight measures are proposed or changes to use of force procedures. These are things, you know, arguments that are fairly common. The Burlington voters did approve this charter change, 62% saying they were in favor of it to 37% voting against it. So, you know, I think that sentiment that the listener expressed is definitely one that's out there, but also, you know, 60% of Burlingtonians voted in favor of it. So I think there's a lot of different views out there on what's needed or how this might work.
Yeah, yeah. And I am hearing from this listener, Koshka, this real concern about negative changes in the city, concerns about crime rates. What do we know about crime levels this year compared to years past broadly?
Yeah, you know, obviously the year's not done yet, so it's hard to say exactly what things are at. I was looking through some of the monthly reports from the Burlington Police Department before the show just to try to get a sense of it. You know, there are some areas where you've seen some spikes. The biggest thing I've seen this year is a spike in non-fatal overdoses, which has been something we've seen the last couple of years. But generally, since the pandemic, there's been increases in certain areas like overdoses, stolen vehicles. There was a spate of gunfire incidents a couple of years ago in Burlington, and some of those incidents have still remained higher than historic levels. But there's also been decreases in other areas. So, you know, you can look and see there are some areas where things have gotten worse and some things that have decreased. So I wouldn't want to make a generalization before seeing more specifically what this year has been like compared to previous years.
If you have thoughts on public safety and police oversight in Burlington or in your own community, you can give us a call this hour at 800-639-2211. You could also email your thoughts, like Koshka did, to vermontedition@vermontpublic.org. Liam, let's go back to this new panel that's being proposed. Who exactly would be on it?
Right. So it's a little confusing, right?
Yeah.
So the current police commission has 7 members, and they would still play a role. So I'm just going to kind of walk through a little how this would work. So as proposed right now, the commission would have more power to be able to review citizen complaints and internal investigations. The chief would have to give the commission updates on those internal investigations. And if the commission disagrees with a decision of discipline that the chief has made, they can all offer an alternative sanction, or with a 2/3 vote, they can hire an independent investigator to review the complaint and then vote again on how to settle that dispute. The chief can accept or reject the recommendation from the commission. And if the two parties there, the commission and the chief, are still at odds, the commission can vote again by a 2/3 vote to refer the disciplinary matter, to a second panel. Ooh. So there's a lot of different...
Hope that's written down somewhere.
It's written down somewhere. There's a lot of different steps there. And one thing that's key is that officers would be able to file a grievance in this process. They'd be able to speak in their own defense. That was something that actually wasn't included in previous versions of the oversight panel, which obviously was something that the police officers union, the chief, and Mayor Moreau Weinberger pointed to as problems with the oversight panel in, you know, due process, the officers not being able to speak in their own defense when they're being potentially disciplined. So this process I've just described is what the new charter change lays out. And I think we don't know how it would play out if it is exactly put into effect. I mean, there's obviously a lot of steps here to go through before anything happens.
Right. Yeah. And speaking of those steps, the legislature and Governor Phil Scott would need to approve this for it to actually change the city's charter, as you've said. Do we have any insight into how the legislature or Governor Scott might view this change?
You know, I do not have a crystal ball or a direct line on things like that. I know that you mentioned the police officers union will likely be lobbying to ask legislatures to not move forward with this. I'm sure that others will be lobbying for it to move forward. But, you know, we did see a big shakeup in the legislature this year with the Democrats losing their supermajority. So if Governor Phil Scott were to veto a measure, it probably wouldn't get overridden. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
And lastly, Liam, as you said, this is kind of a unique situation going on in Burlington with this police oversight commission. But these conversations about oversight and public safety at large, these are happening all across our region, right?
Yeah. And obviously, retention of police officers and staffing levels has been an issue for departments around the state. The Burlington Police have seen their officers' numbers drop quite a bit in the last couple of years after the city council capped them. The cap has changed a little bit, but that's really when you saw officers leaving in droves was in 2020 when the cap was first introduced. And they're still rebuilding from that. And that's one of the reasons why the union's concerned with the new panel is that they're afraid it would hurt efforts to rebuild the department back to the levels where they say it would be most effective.
Liam Elder Connors is Vermont Public's senior reporter on public safety. Liam, thanks for joining us.
You bet.
We just got an email from a listener named Tom in Northfield who wanted to respond to an email I read earlier from Koshka. Tom writes, tradespeople and contractors do have oversight, and I think police should too. What do you think? How do you feel like your police department is being overseen and managed in your community? Do you think it could change and make the department more accountable and more effective? Or do you think the current level of oversight is working for you and your community? Give us a call at 800-639-2211 or email vermontedition@vermontpublic.org. Coming up, we'll talk with leaders from Vermont's Police Officers Association. Stay with us. Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Michaela LaFrac. Today on the show, we are discussing Burlington's multi-year effort to increase civilian oversight of its police department. On Election Day this year, voters approved a change to the city's charter. It would allow the police commission to create an independent panel to scrutinize officer misconduct cases. In a bit, we're going to hear from Burlington's mayor, Emma Mulvaney-Stanek, about all this. But first, we are joined by two police officers and members of the Burlington Police Officers Association, a union representing the city's police force. The organization's secretary, Michael Moran, welcome.
Hi there. Thank you.
And treasurer, Eric Dallamira. Welcome.
Thank you.
And listeners, you can join this conversation as well. Do you have questions about how officer oversight works in Burlington's police department? Or what it's like to be an officer on the ground in Vermont's largest city. Now is the time to ask. You can give us a call at 800-639-2211. So first, how long have both of you been with the police department? What's your history with the force?
Yeah, so I joined, I went to the academy in 2019, and shortly thereafter, I was on the road in 2020, kind of at the height of all COVID and all the civil unrest going on. But I've been on the road since then. I still work the road to the day. So if you guys are out on Church Street, and you probably see me walking around at some point.
All right. We'll give you a wave. And Eric?
Yeah, I started in 2008. For the first about 10 years of my career, I walked downtown whenever I could. I've been a detective for a few years now. I'm currently assigned to the Chittenden Unit for Special Investigations.
And what do you two think of this new proposal? You're here on behalf of the Burlington Police Officers Association. You also have personal experience in Burlington. Mike, let's start with you.
Yeah, so I think ultimately I think that this charter change is something that a lot of people across America and across Vermont have been looking for. And I think one of the reasons that we're against it for the time right now is just because the proposal in and of itself, it's not the best proposal that we could put forward, that could be put forward. And I think the way that it reads now is going to hinder a lot of our recruiting efforts. You know, we've went from 100 applicants in 2023 down to 26 or two dozen, something to that extent in 2024. We're already feeling that effect. Along with a lot of other departments across the country and across the state, if you go, I mean, any police department is basically hiring at this moment. And I think to have this charter change introduced when it's introduced is a big effort or a big problem in our recruiting effort.
But you think it could be better? How?
Yeah, I think some of the way that the process goes is, but with that independent panel, we asked for more people on that panel. We asked for a set. Kind of parameter to who can sit on that panel. So the way it reads right now, from my understanding, is we have to have people with HR background, with law enforcement background, with the criminal justice diversion plan background. And I think the way that's written now is all those people on the panel could potentially be in HR. They could all potentially be in one group or the other, and there's no set way to kind of make it fair and equitable across that board in the verbiage that's written now.
Yeah. And you brought up recruitment as well. I want to get into that a little more deeply in just a moment. But first, Eric, let's hear from you. What are your thoughts as treasurer of the union about this?
Yeah, I'll also say that as representing most officers, we like rules. We like to know what we're facing. And that comes to any discipline we may face in any of the actions that, you know, in the event something doesn't go as planned, officers like to know how they're going to be held accountable for their actions. You know, what we feel this charter change does is, well, it leaves out some of those knowns. We don't know what this, you know, panel is going to look like if an event ever gets to that level. But our concern is there's a lot of maybe too much political input that could fall into place there.
What do you mean by that, political input?
Currently, we have a pretty robust system. People can look up our DD40. The chief does have on our website posted our disciplinary process, so to speak. This panel, we don't know what the makeup will look like. And it's set to be the last step when events can't get resolved if there's disagreement. This panel can be appointed by, you know, representatives voted by the people, essentially the mayor. You know, we don't know what that makeup is going to look like. There's not a set group of people who that's going to be. So a lot of that input in this final decision-making process, you know, could be just potentially a packed group of people, depending on what the political climate is at the time. And we don't want officers to worry about what could in the long run be a political disciplinary process, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. So it sounds like there's a lot of concern here from police officers, the folks you all represent, about excessive scrutiny and liability. Why do you think that is? Where does that concern come from?
Yeah, so I think, as an officer on the road in Burlington, like, we're under a heavier microscope than we would, say, Woodstock or some other kind of smaller department. Mm-hmm. And with that type of scrutiny, with our also combined with our already robust disciplinary process in place with DD40, I think that every officer is very aware of the liability that they assume on a daily basis and a decision-making basis. And to kind of create more steps into this, it's just kind of it's uneasy, and it doesn't feel that it potentially is this best form at this stage.
Mm. Yeah, so I saw this interview with the head of your association with VT Digger, and he said, I'm quoting here, "We are constantly under the microscope, and this just puts us all under a bigger microscope." I think on the other side of that, you know, people, some folks in Burlington, the 62 or 63% of folks who voted to support this, and, you know, people tasked with policing the city who are carrying weapons on the streets, they should be under a microscope. A microscope is a valid tool here.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. No, I agree. I believe that in all respects, we're for police accountability. You know, you heard that adage, bad apple. Well, we do everything that we can to either vet that out of the hiring process, and if someone does make a mistake, then and it does negatively impact civilians or citizens, yeah, obviously we want to make sure that that person is held accountable. But ultimately, it needs to be done in a fair and equitable way. Yeah. And that's kind of our biggest concern.
Do you think that there are changes or improvements that could be made to the current oversight system of Burlington's police force? Or do you see it working well as is? Eric?
I think it mostly works well as is. We always look for a clear process. That can be as, you know, as open as public as anything else we do. You know, I think we are pretty transparent. I think we do have plenty of oversight. But we want, you know, in the case of an officer who is accused of doing something wrong, we want decisions made fairly and quickly. I think that's in everyone's best interest.
Well, we got an email from a listener named Nate in Burlington, who's a Burlington resident, a business owner. They say that they voted against this charter change. And they're right here. "At my business, we've experienced crime, including an after-hours break-in and an incident where two people came in on a Sunday afternoon and smoked crack at one of our cafe tables. I've also experienced petty theft from one of my vehicles at my residence." They say that the police response was almost non-existent, and go on to to say Burlington is truly becoming a less safe and livable city, and I feel that city government is failing us. So to me, it sounds like Nate is drawing a connection here between this proposal to increase civilian oversight of police with crime in the city, an increase of crime, and maybe a hampering of the current police officers' ability to address it. Do you all see that connection, or do you feel like these are two separate issues?
I think there's some valid points to that, and I think ultimately, if people are upset about the response that they get, I think the quick fix is obviously if we had people, more people to respond to these incidents, then they'd be getting a more personal approach. I've seen a lot of our complaints kind of go over the phone instead of having us go out to person. You know, with the shortage in officers and with these priority response plan that we have in place, it's difficult to get an officer to take some of the lower level stuff, especially with drug interdiction, because that's a very difficult to do on a day-to-day level as a police officer. And with situations like that, I think that there's definitely the biggest ultimate fix with most of the issues that people have about police in Burlington is if we had more cops and we were able to respond to the calls on a more personal level and not just take it over the phone and that be that, I think that would help deter a lot more crime as well. Mm-hmm. So again, it just comes back to the amount of cops that we have. And in order to do that, we need a political system in place that supports officers and wants them to be there.
Well, if you're just joining us, we have two members of Burlington's police force on the show with us today. Curious to hear from you. Our number is 800-639-2211. If you have questions or concerns there about policing in Burlington, or perhaps a story to share from your own community. Again, 800-639-2211. Eric, how would you characterize the relationship that the department currently has with Burlington residents? Is there a way to encompass that?
It's difficult to say. I feel a lot of support from people in Burlington. When I talk to people, and I could say this anecdotally, I get a lot of positive feedback. I'd be concerned about people's perception of the city itself, of what they see the police department is doing. Anecdotally, when you look at the city, people say there's more crime. I worry that our numbers being low and our ability to respond to certain incidents, particularly low-level crimes, has encouraged people or discouraged people from reporting, and that may possibly be keeping the actual stats low and our true numbers aren't represented on how much crime is actually occurring in the city. There are concerns about how that's perceived, but I still, in large, feel supported by the city.
Yeah. Earlier, Mike, you mentioned that there has been a major drop in the number of applicants to Burlington's police department between last year and this year, I believe it was. So that precedes a lot of what we're talking about today with this oversight committee. What else do you think could be contributing to that drop in applications?
Yeah, I mean, it's quite the conundrum, I guess, suppose. So I had the privilege of going down to the Vermont Police Academy and actually talking to the recruits that are in the academy at that time. And I just kind of, we addressed this in a letter as well, but I was able to talk to them and in kind of like an informal setting where, you know, they could let their guard down a little bit. And during that conversation, out of about 17 people that live in the Chittenden County area, we only had two that applied to Burlington, and at the time, those two were not living in that area. So I think Burlington specifically, I think that because it's the bigger city in Vermont and it gets a lot of the attention, especially with the tumultuous summers that we went through a couple of years now, people are looking at Burlington, and I think that if they're deciding between Burlington and South Burlington or Burlington and Colchester, I think that they're more inclined to pick an apartment that A isn't under such under that microscope so finely, and maybe can kind of help out in a sense of they're still helping in the community. Maybe they want to be in the police department, maybe they don't. But I think that if you apply to Burlington, you have that drive and that desire to do work and to make a real meaningful impact.
Do you see the department kind of countering that perspective by making an additional offer or saying, you know, here's what being a Burlington police officer allows you to do that's different than, say, working in South Burlington or Colchester?
Yeah, absolutely. And when we have numbers and we have those positions, there's a lot more opportunity for growth inside Burlington because it is a bigger department. It allows us to have more detectives and street crimes unit and all these different avenues. But the struggle that we're coming across right now is we just don't have the staffing to be able to afford these positions until our patrol numbers come up. So it's like we got to get more officers in. Again, that's usually what it comes back to, is the argument that we have.
And Eric, what would your pitch be to somebody who's considering a career in law enforcement and considering Burlington's police force?
I mean, we have a lot of opportunities, and I hope as we can increase our numbers, if we can get a flood of people in right away, we can solve some of those problems. And I think those opportunities will definitely be there. Like Mike said, it is difficult to fill the specialty positions when we need uniformed people to fill the patrol shifts. But it's a good time to come because you're going to have a long career here. We have a lot of openings. So I'd encourage people to apply if they can.
Yeah. And Leslie, I'd love to hear from both of you about the one thing that you think is the best part of your job and one thing that's been the toughest. Maybe we'll start with the tough part first and end on a positive note.
Yeah, sure. So I would say the toughest part right now is, some days working a day shift, I'm one of three uniformed officers on the road to police an upward of 45,000 people. And some days, I mean, I'm going from call to call to call to call to call, and I don't see an end in sight. And sometimes that's really tough. It's not every day, but it's definitely some days. And every once in a while, we'll get that nice support from people downtown. If I'm out dealing with a call, people will stop and say, thank you, I appreciate, and like that makes a huge difference in my day personally. And I appreciate that type of support from the community.
Thanks. And Eric.
I didn't expect this when I joined the union, but this has actually been a challenge, trying to help fellow officers through some of these things and just these tough times. I never expected to see a drop in numbers. So in general, that's all been hard. But I've enjoyed a lot of my career. I loved walking Church Street when I was on patrol. The cases I do now, the major crimes, they're rewarding. I get to, at the end of the day, I can hopefully look at a case and know some victims are happy with the outcome and feel good, and hopefully make people's lives a little better.
Burlington Police Officers Association Secretary Michael Moran and Treasurer Eric Dallamura, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
Coming up, we're going to speak with Burlington's mayor, Emma Mulvaney-Stanek. Do you have questions for her, thoughts on her term so far, or on this issue of police oversight that we're diving into today? You can call in at 800-639-2211. This is Vermont Edition. Stay with us. Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Michaela LaFrac. Today on the show, we are discussing efforts in Burlington to increase oversight of the police department, specifically in cases of officer misconduct. We just heard from members of the police union, and now we are joined by Mayor Emma Mulvaney-Stanek. Before being elected mayor earlier this year, she served as a progressive in the Vermont House of Representatives. She's also the former chair of the Vermont Progressive Party and former member of the Burlington City Council. Mayor, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, we're so glad to have you today. So you have said, I've seen that you see this charter change as something of a compromise. Why?
Absolutely. It is a compromise because and I appreciated the overview earlier in the hour, because I think that's helpful for listeners to understand the journey that this work has been on in Burlington. The latest proposal that was supported by 62% or so of the voters in November represents compromise between Democrats and progressives. After the second attempt to have this conversation failed voters, people, the elected leaders at the time, I was not the mayor at the time, came forward and said, we really need to come up with a compromise that we can all advance and support. And so during that process, the BPOA, the police union just had on, as well as the chief of police, were alongside policymakers coming up with that compromise proposal. And simply put, I think compromises are the best of democracy when we can really deliberate alongside each other, come up with incremental steps that move us forward and really heed the call that the origins of this all started with, which is the racial justice work back in 2000, when the community was clearly calling on Burlington, figuring out stronger community oversight and building trust within how we do policing and community service, community safety in Burlington.
We got an email from a listener named Ben, who's in Montpelier, who says that they've seen a lot of conversations in town about increasing levels of harassment that people are experiencing while walking on the bike path there, from people who congregate on the path. Many are drinking alcohol, and Ben says that the city council isn't doing very much because, as Ben says, they are afraid of stigmatizing this population of people. And then Ben goes on to write, can we please stop the pseudo-progressive mental straitjacketing and support our police? Holding officers accountable is absolutely necessary, but we need to respect the police and not micromanage them. Mayor Mulvaney's take, I'm wondering what your thoughts are, or maybe a response to somebody like Ben who sees this kind of oversight effort as micromanaging a very overtaxed police force.
Well, there's a lot of nuance and multiple things happening at the same time here in Burlington, in Vermont, in the entire country. And so one thing I just want to say is that this particular independent panel, which has been the focus, large focus of the charter change discussion, will be rarely used, and it will be used only in the rare moment during an officer discipline matter where there's a disagreement between the chief of police and the police commission. That will be rarely used. And as your guest earlier said, I have always found I used to be in the labor movement as a labor organizer, knowing the rules and knowing the processes and the standards and the policies for which you will be held to as an employee is actually something of value. And it's a value of the kinds of professional officers that I know we have on the force now, which I very much appreciate, and the kind of officers I want to attract to work here in the city of Burlington. And so this is an important tool that is, as I've talked about before, a compromise to move us forward with making sure we have a robust oversight process in those rare circumstances where there's that disagreement. And then more importantly, we have other issues happening in the city. And I've heard this because our police, even this, before the numbers of police officers dropped in recent years, we have to recognize we're in a modern city today, and there's a lot of issues going on that we can't always call just a police officer to respond to. And Burlington's done a good job of starting to build out a more robust and diversified response to community safety that includes other professionals who can also engage folks, make sure folks who are having a hard time are connected to the services they need, and then folks who are causing harm, especially low-level harm, are able to be held accountable with other practices that we can have here, including our community justice center, including pre-charge programs through the court system. There's a lot of other options besides just calling police. And this is where we get back to what I said about being a modern-day city. Burlington is there, and we're dealing with modern-day challenges around behaviors and issues. And I want to make sure our police force is supported, not only with getting us to a headcount that is needed to make sure that the workload is not crushing for police officers, but a robust modern day community safety system that has other professionals on hand able to help.
Let's bring in some voices from our audience. Robin emailed, I am very distressed at how far police forces have gotten away from protect and serve. There's a more militaristic trend in some police interactions that's very disturbing. So, yes, I believe civilian oversight is necessary and proper. Robert in Burlington has been waiting on the line. Robert, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. So this thing is more of an employment decision than a criminal investigation. It's about whether or not we're going to retain employees of the city that are actually serving the city, or if they're not serving the city, if we're getting rid of them. Consider any other department, you know, the clerk's department or a DPW or something. If there was some employee that was harming the city by what they were doing in the capacity of their employment, there would be a performance review and they might get fired. And I just don't see why we can't do that with the police department without greenmailing them like we did with the Belavance case, you know, to the tune of $300,000. The moral hazard involved in that is just unbelievable.
Robert, I'm going to jump in here because I'd love to hear the mayor's response to this. Mayor Mulvaney-Stanek, do you see a difference in how police officers should be overseen compared to other members of the city's payroll?
Well, first of all, we do have performance review standards for all city employees, including police. That's just part of being a good employer. There is a collective bargaining agreement that governs the due process given to police officers and also other unionized staff we have here. So there are processes. And when it comes to policing, there is a standard for which I think we should have with folks who are armed and take the sworn oath of making sure they're here to protect the community. But we do have high standards to make sure that they are policing our community with the value alignments that we have, that they understand. In Burlington, we really want to be clear around fair and impartial policing standards. We want to make sure that our community feels supported. We want to make sure that parts of our community who hold marginalized identities can begin to slowly rebuild trust and feel supported in calling police if they need support. And if we look at not just Burlington, but elsewhere, that's not always been the case with folks, with BIPOC members of our community, with LGBTQ+ members of our community. And that is, again, the kind of responsibility that I know we have within our ranks in the Burlington Police Department and want to continue to foster and grow, is that we should have high standards for the folks who are policing our community. Hmm.
But what do you think of the police officers' concerns? We just heard earlier in the show who said efforts like this one are negatively affecting their ability to recruit more officers.
Well, as I mentioned before, I was labor organizer for over a decade in Vermont and did a lot of work with, I worked in the public school system with teachers and support staff, different sector, of course, but just as important, I was often called in when there were morale issues and issues of working conditions around why there was just tons of teachers walking out the door or staff walking out the door or hard to recruit people. And so there are many other reasons contributing as well to issues of recruitment and retention of qualified folks. And so we have to just really focus on the fact that there are multiple things contributing to Burlington's challenges of recruiting officers, as is the case with many other communities in Vermont and elsewhere in the region and country. And part of this really comes down to workload. It comes down to issues of whether or not people can advance career-wise and as leaders within the police department. It comes down to also just making sure that we are supporting folks with safe working conditions. We're embarking on looking to build a new facility for our Burlington Police Department, as well as the Central Fire Station, because those buildings are frankly in disrepair and not the kind of facility that I want for a modern day city. It does not help us for recruitment when we have a building that is not only aging, but simply just in such disrepair that it's not becoming of the Queen City of Vermont. So for me, there's multiple more pressing issues that are in the everyday lives of police officers that we are working on now to address those issues of workload, morale, working conditions, et cetera.
Well, let's get in a couple more callers here. We have Amanda in Brattleboro calling in. Amanda, go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. I just wanted to give a shout out to our police chief, Norma Hardy. She's been in Brattleboro since 2021. She has built back our force and engaged in long-term recruitment with a few more officers coming down. And I just want to give a shout out that part of her success is a symbiotic relationship with citizens, government, and nonprofit agencies that are very supportive to individuals in our town. Brattleboro has a lot of the similar struggles as Burlington. And so I just want to say thank you, Chief Hardy, and thank you to Brattleboro.
Thanks, Amanda. We appreciate that call. Let's go next to Diana in Johnson. Diana, go ahead.
Yeah, I would like to build on the previous caller's comment and take the conversation outside of Burlington a little bit, because
sure.
I agree that what's happening across the state is relevant. What's happening across different public safety agencies is important. And this isn't a conversation involving just the Burlington Police, but actually other public safety too. My association is with EMS, and we have similar issues where we're short-staffed across the state, where every municipality and agency is trying to solve these problems on their own. And I think a less siloed approach and a more collaborative approach across the state, where every municipality doesn't have to, you know, reinvent the wheel or solve their problems independently of input from other places, prevents us from learning what's working in other places. And it creates a, you know, kind of a compartmentalization that is detrimental to everybody.
Diana, thanks for calling in. So we just heard from somebody in Johnson, somebody in Brattleboro. Mayor Emma Mulvaney Stanek, are these issues that we're discussing today around police oversight, as well as recruitment and retention, are these things that you're talking with other leaders of Vermont communities about?
Yes, and I so appreciate both those callers and the caller from Johnson in particular, because I've never thought more about regional approach as I have as being the mayor, as a state representative just a few months ago. You know, obviously we think about statewide trends and whatnot, and I would hear a lot from other communities the impacts on EMS and volunteer firefighter services, et cetera. And I have thought so much more deeply in these last 7 months around the need for regional approaches to things that are common challenges. The local control element of Vermont's sort of culture and vibe, if you will, is very limiting. And we shouldn't have to be trying to figure this all out as individual silos alongside each other. And I just had a meeting about 3 weeks ago with Governor Phil Scott, and I raised this very issue around the need for Burlington and all the communities facing the struggle for police recruitment, and frankly, also maintaining high quality firefighters and EMS professionals. And I know many communities have a volunteer system even at that. We need help. We need the state to be able to step in as a strong partner, to convene, to help swap strategies, and even thinking about creative things out of the box where we can do collective recruitment efforts to make sure that we're also not all individually competing for the same small group of officers, maybe perhaps in, or even prospective officers in the state of Vermont. But how do we go further afield to make sure that we're encouraging more folks to consider Vermont their home, to help bolster our ranks, and again, go back to recruiting the kinds of police officers and all first responders that we really need here in Vermont.
And lastly, Mayor, you've been part of a number of public safety forums here in Burlington. There's one in September, one in November. I believe there's another one coming up in January. What do you hope to gain from these conversations personally?
Sure. These forums are at my calling and my organization from my office, and they're community safety forums that allow us to go more in depth on all of the very complex issues that are overlapping, that are causing our issues of safety, perceived issues of safety, and real issues of lack of safety. And the first one, we focused on the court system and also gun policy in September. These are all recorded and people can find them on Town Meeting TV. The second one we held just a week or so ago was focused on anti-violence strategies, and specifically young people, and how we've been seeing some of our youth get sucked into concerning behaviors and patterns. And we engaged our youth service providers back to relationships that the caller from Brattleboro talked about. Relationships are critical with our stakeholders to be able to find out the root causes and then figure out solutions that will work here. We don't have to reinvent the wheel, and there's great wisdom around us on how do we change course and make sure that we're not just relying on status quo policies, that we're adapting and innovating, looking to other communities that frankly are ahead of us in figuring out these complexities, because many communities, not only in Vermont, but further afield in the country, have faced these exact combinations of issues. And so my staff and I are already underway engaging cities like Albuquerque and Boston and other places where, again, they are ahead of us in figuring out how do you get at the different aspects of community safety, knowing that police and police officers and the number of officers you have is not the sole solution for figuring out how to address this and continue to make our communities safer.
It's Burlington Mayor Emma Mulvaney Stanek. Mayor, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, that is all the time that we have for Vermont Edition today. Tomorrow, we will be diving into the arts and speaking with artist, musician, and poet Toussaint St. Negritude, who has a new book of poetry out. We'll also get an update on the local restaurant scene with 7 Days food writer Melissa Passanen. We'll hear about seasonal ingredients, Thanksgiving specials, and much more. Today's show was directed by Aaliyah Papes. Our managing producer is John Ahrens. Andrea Lorien and Daniela Fierro are our producers. Kelly Delorier was our call screener today, and our theme music is by Myra Flynn. I'm Michaela LaFrac. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch up again soon.